Hey gang, it is Wednesday night, the 4th of October 2017. This is episode 65 of AIH Superfans Podcast. I am one of your super happy superfan pals. My name is Alan, and on Twitter, you can hate me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
Yo, it's Roddy at Big Poppy Peg City.
I'm Brian, at Brian from AIH.
And I'm C-Mac, C-Mac Live.
So we weren't planning this podcast in advance, and then things happened, and everybody was all of a sudden very motivated to talk. So if I hadn't seen the game, I would have guessed big win for the Jets, right? Right?
That was
big win for the brand.
So for those of you that are unaware at this point, the Jets played their season opening game, coming off of all the momentum from their seven-game winning streak last year, and the Maple Leafs came into town and kicked their fucking ass. It was a 7-2 beating, a Maple Leafs on top. Wow. I'll give you a couple of quick stats from the game, though I'm sure you've got guys have got plenty to say. Jets actually outshot the Leafs 37-31. The Maple Leafs were 2-for-4 on the power play. The Jets were 0-for-8 on the power play. It was going kind of well in the first period, and then the wheels fell off in the last 5 minutes. The Leafs went up 3-0. They got another goal in the second. They got a couple of more goals in the third. Finally, Scheifele got a garbage time goal, and Perreault got a garbage time goal to kind of, well, to do nothing. 7-2, the final score. You guys probably, I saw the first couple of periods and then I was on the subway home. Talk to me.
Rise together, people.
All right, well, that's our show.
Have a good night.
Okay, go, look up Adam Lowry's time on ice. I just want to start with that.
I'll actually give you a few. I have it right in front of me. Adam Lowry's time on ice. Has anyone seen this yet? Because if you haven't, I'd like you to take guesses. If you haven't seen it, you've all seen it, right?
I haven't. 25?
No, I 17 and a half minutes.
20 minutes and 27 seconds. Leading all forwards. And only behind three defensemen in terms of total ice time tonight. Other notable ice times for players tonight. Obviously, you know, the top forwards are getting close to 20 minutes. But we have our Mia with 13 minutes and 25 seconds. And then, of course, our fourth line guys. Tanev with 8.5 minutes. Marco Dano, 8 minutes and 6 seconds. Interestingly, I don't know. I didn't see anything about him getting hurt or anything. Enstrom with 12 minutes of ice time tonight. The lowest amongst... Oh, sorry. Morrissey also with 12 minutes. Enstrom and Morrissey, 12 minutes and 38 seconds to be the lowest ice time for the defenseman. And, of course, Nick Petan with 0 minutes of ice time tonight. So... there was that too.
To be fair, there was a lot of penalties both sides tonight, and that always skews time on ice, especially when you're a two-way star like Lowry. You're going to play penalty killing and first unit power play, plus your regular shift. Of course, you should be up there.
Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention to the preseason, but I saw Adam Lowry out there with the first power play unit, and I was like, what the fuck am I seeing?
He's on the first power play unit and the first PK unit.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He's a special teams phenom. Like,
as we can see by what the special teams accomplished tonight, absolutely. Whatever Lowry's doing is working.
Yeah, 50% efficiency on the penalty kill and a big goose egg on the power play. So, yeah, our big problems leading into this year have been solved. Literally, right? Because, what? You know, Adam Lowry's still a fixture on the first unit power play. And, yeah. You know what?
I like that they say that he's a net front presence, but he spends the whole shift beside the goalie. The whole shift.
So, I mean, ultimately, this game came down to the three trademarks of this team, right? Goaltending, special teams, and coaching. Did them all in. And I know that I don't think the goaltending was necessarily all that bad either, but at the same time, when you let in seven goals, it's not, you can't say that's good.
Yeah. What was that one GIF that was shared that, you know, on defense, half the team was playing zone and the other half was playing man? Like, it's like they're totally clueless out there. They have no idea what their assignments are.
People that are smarter than me were telling us last year that they do play, it's not actually a man defense, that it is like a plus zone or something like that, where they play like a zone plus man defense. And I think that's probably where that's getting exposed now, where I don't know enough about it, I'll be honest, but when you're running half the guys playing zone and half the guys playing man, you miss one stride, you miss one pass, forget it. And that's what we've been seeing for 2 years. To talk broader, if I can, the reason why guys like us are so upset tonight is because it's everything that we've been talking about, not just for the summer, but it's for 2 years. And it just all happened in the first game of the season. Everything that we talk about. So these people that say, don't panic. Yeah, right. If we would have lost 1-0, who would be panicking?
Well, and you know what? In this matchup today, like, it's just, it's very fitting, right? We played the Toronto Maple Leafs, the organization that's done the complete opposite of the Jets over the last four seasons, right? This is a team that totally tanked, ended up in last place, took 2 years to make it to the playoffs, and now they bought a lineup that's going to be competitive from top to bottom, right? They're icing offensive lines from top to bottom. Like, they don't have two fourth lines. Like, what's the point of this shit anyways?
And the Maple Leafs, by the way, who had empty cupboards 3 years ago. So again, people, if you're still using the, well, we had empty cupboards when the team came from Atlanta. My best friend had a kid the year that the Jets came back. The kid's in fucking grade one now, everyone. Like, it's a long time. And it's like, you can either find them or you can sign them or you can trade for them. And yet here we are sitting here and putting Brandon Tan, like Nick Batan's in the press box.
We've spent six years getting these guys. I don't want to say it. These people sat there all summer talking about how much talent we have. This is the most talent we've ever had. This is it. And then you run out those lines. Why do we have these guys? Why do we have Kyle Connor? Why do we have Nick Batan? Why do we have Mark? Why did you trade Andrew Ladd for Marco Dano? Why didn't you just sign three Matt Hendricks and call it a day?
And honestly, again, you're right. If we lost this game 1-0 or, you know, 3-2 or something, that would be one thing. You're going to sit these, you're going to put Connor on the moose and you're going to sit Patan in the press box and lose 7-2. Just, if that's the case, just put these kids out there and give them some time. Like, what's going on here?
And what's ironic is you're losing 3-0. Wouldn't it be nice if you could pump out more than two lines to try and get back in the game?
Oh, fuck.
That you could actually put out a third line that might have a chance of scoring rather than not being able to put out a third and fourth line, or putting out a third and fourth line that have no hope of scoring.
The dumbest shit ever is. This is the dumbest shit ever. Like, I'm going to be brutally honest. We had 8 power plays tonight. This is the dumbest shit ever. What's been the Jets' problem for years? Now that we have the most skilled lineup or the most skilled talent in this organization, how do you go 0-for-8 and look totally horrible at the same time? Like, how do you do that? You know, yeah, we got out goalied. Like, Anderson, you know, made a lot of stops. Yeah, he had 17 stops in the first, right? The Jets had 17 shots, and it was 10 shots a period or 20 shots for the rest of the game. With how many power plays? Like, way. The most frustrating thing is this has been a problem for years. So what do? Before any results this year, we extend the people responsible for this shit. Like, it's a fucked up. Barry Trotz has won 2 President Cups, and he still doesn't have a fucking extension.
Isn't the President's Cup a golf trophy?
He's also a fantastic golfer.
Shouldn't that be the Jets trophy?
Sorry, President's trophy. Yeah.
Maurice is going to wear a green jacket on Saturday.
Oh my god, goodness. Yeah, I mean, so the day started off with it was today where they said Connor got sent back this morning, right?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
It was yesterday, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
And then Ehlers got signed today. That was the big news.
Yeah. So Kopp was, they didn't know if he was going to be hurt or not. And then he was able to play. So they sent Connor back to the Moose. Then this morning, we'll talk about Ehlers in a second, but then they said, you know, Patan's going to be sitting in the press box. So that was nice. So that kind of got everybody off to a bit of a, you know, nice and riled up. But I don't get it. I mean, I I'm not a GM. I'm not an NHL coach. But you're telling me that you have to put Brandon Tanev in there over Nick Mattan. Like, who makes that decision? If you're playing NHL 18, you're like, you know what, Tanev. Tanev and his what, 70 over Patan, who's an 81? Well, come on.
Guys, you know, we have no problem scoring. We need defense. No problem scoring at all.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, I said it last time. I think I said it last show that Adam Lowry is really the reason for all of this. So now that's got me on two things. Either one, you know, he's playing higher than he should, and that's compromising the other lines. Or two, so that's a coach's mistake. Or two, Maurice actually believes that Matthias, Lowry, and Armia are a scoring line. He legit thinks they're playing a top nine. So you're out to lunch.
All signs point to Paul Maurice is the GOAT. He's the GOAT. Paul Maurice is the GOAT. Soon to be GOAT. The GOAT loser coach of all time. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT.
Undisputed. Yeah,
undisputed.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And again, Maurice is locked in now. I still don't, you know what, honestly, keep losing games like this because you won't give a fuck. If this is November and this shit, you know, continues along this path, the guy's gone. I don't care that they extended them. They have to be rid of them. There's no way.
Yep.
There's no way. That arena, this is the first game of the season. This is supposed to be the big kind of turnaround, push for the playoffs, rise together. It's the Leafs. The thing is sold out. One of the most exciting games of the year. And that third period, the place is a quarter of the seats have been emptied out. It's quiet. The biggest chant in the third period is go Leafs go. The fans are not going to put up with this shit again. It's not going to happen. If the coaches keep screwing this up,
how can you see that happening? They signed them the contracts. Huh? Nothing fucking changed.
I can't see them putting up with this shit for more than, you know, 15 or 20 games. There's no way.
Could you see them extending them both after everything?
They did.
Did anybody in their right mind think, yeah, of course Paul Maurice is going to get an extension? Like, seriously, other than people in Winnipeg, other than diehard Jets fans, like, other than pom-poms, who actually thought Paul Maurice would get extended?
Chipman?
Like, honestly.
Yeah, his idea.
I don't know what to tell you. They may have extended them, but that's their money to lose, because there's no way. There's no way that you put up with this stuff. This is a loss is a loss. That's one thing. To get your ass handed to you on home ice on your home opener while everybody in the country is watching, that it's baloney.
You know what? There's no way you put up with it. There's no way you put up with it if you actually want to win NHL hockey games. There's no way. But you know what? Everything this team does seems to fly against all that logic.
Well, again, we can beat the dead horse. How did you keep Wade Flaherty? Like, this, that's just a microcosm, right? That's just like a perfect example of everything else you do. You have, like we've talked about before, you have zero to lose by trying a new goalie coach after 5 years. You have nothing to lose. It doesn't cost you money.
There have been two coaching changes. There have been two changes in the brain trust. Running
in 6 years.
Yeah.
What they've added,
Claude Noel got fired.
Yeah.
Right? And added Paul Maurice. And then they promoted Pascal Vincent to head coach of the Moose, and they filled it up with Compon, right? But those are the only two coaching changes.
Well, when you have the results speak for themselves, man.
Zero playoff wins and one playoff appearance.
Let's talk about something that I think we can all agree is a good thing, which is, as you mentioned, this morning it was also announced that they have extended Nikolai Ehlers, 7 years, $6 million a season. That contract kicks in after this year, so he's still in his last ELC year. I would imagine across the board we're all going to call this a very good deal.
Great deal.
Yep, love it.
Slam dunk for Chevy. Good job, Chevy.
So that's very good news for the longer term. I still think that they're going to have to pull out the Brinks truck for Liney after that Eichel contract. Woof.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Though, you know, if Liney doesn't score any goals, maybe he has a kind of a crappy year and all of a sudden you get him a little cheaper. Huh? Huh? But, so, I mean, at least we had one good piece of news, and, you know, that's something to look forward to. This team isn't going to stink for 7 years, right, guys? They can't with these guys, with the guys that they have locked in. Again, like, they're not, you know, I can't see them spending the money on these contracts and going nowhere. So, you know, this is a good thing. We've got Shifley and, Ehlers and Byfuglien and Perreault and Little, all locked in now for a period of time. So, right? Yay.
Yeah.
There's room, you know,
Isn't it starting to get scary now, though? Like, for me, the Kulikov, I think we all took a big dump on that when it happened. Some of it's justified, as we talked about. I mean, you needed to fill that spot, but after 8 exhibition games, it sure looks like you could have saved $14 million and just put Tucker Pullman in there.
Absolutely.
And now you have the money that you need for Line A and more
Trouba.
As importantly for Trouba.
Well, I mean, the thing I think about with the Kulikov contract is, so Kulikov is worth 2/3 of a Nick Ehlers.
Yeah, that's how I always look at those things. Is he really that much? Like, come on, there's no way that guy. And the Mason thing, I saw
Mason. TSN, yeah, Mason is a horrible signing. Yeah,
saw. Great stat today somewhere on the TSN season preview or whatever. They had him and Hellebuck had the exact same stats last year. Exactly. And everyone's like, oh, I know. But I mean, to reiterate it, like the day of the game, first game, here's our savior, all the pom-poms, so jacked for their new goalie that is not any better than the goalie they spent all of last year.
They didn't even sign a proven winner.
And they signed.
Be honest.
Like, what did
we need a goalie that can win?
What did they sign Hellebuck to as well? Like, it was 1 year at like what? It was under two, right?
Yeah.
I'm just opening up their good old cap friendly.
With the exact same goalie, they're paying 30% of what they're paying Mason.
So there he is. Connor Hellebuck, 2.25. million for 1 year.
So 40 something.
He's getting half.
The exact same goalie.
He's getting half for one year.
Then look at the bench next door. Look at the team next door that they were playing tonight. What did they get Frederik Andersen for?
Well, five.
Yeah, but
he's a better goalie. He's a much better goalie.
Absolutely, and they got him because they traded assets that they got for Phil Kessel.
Yes, they did.
To the Ducks, right?
Yes, they did. They traded a draft pick to make their team better. Weird.
And to get a younger,
how about trade a guy that's sitting on the Moose right now or in the press box and get something you need?
Well, again,
all of last year. If you're not going to play him, trade for the defenseman. Trade Patan for the defenseman.
For a draft develop asset management team, we signed a couple big albatrosses of fucking free agent contracts that really didn't really help the team.
They might prove to be okay, but Kulikov has looked like probably the, eighth or ninth best defenseman since the beginning of training camp.
Who would you rather see on the ice right now after you saw an exhibition? Honestly.
Honestly, probably even Ben Sherratt over him.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know if I can go that far.
Bite your tongue.
Well, I'm mostly joking, but Kulikov was really bad in the preseason. I mean,
Kulikov? Yes.
Ben Sherratt earning $1.4 million a year, by the way, for 2 years. I don't even know. So anyways, when it comes to these contracts, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just... this is the problem. You can judge your best friend, you can judge a stranger, you can judge your boss, or you can judge anybody on the good things they do. Until you start judging the shitty things they do, you're not going to get a real look at things. And this is the problem that Jets fans as a whole have a problem with. They judge Chevy on these great signings. Awesome. Little, I feel about that. But Scheifele, Ehlers, great contracts, right? But what really matters is the Matt Hendricks signings, Stewart signings, the Andre Pavlik. Those are what really matter. The shitty moves you make are the ones that are going to determine your fate. And not the great ones.
And you can spend all this money on these top forwards. But I mean, I lived in Ottawa for three really like top Ottawa Senators years where they had probably the best lineup, like NHL lineup I've ever seen live on a team, except that they didn't have the goalie. And they sat there year after year. What are we going to do? We can't solve it. And in the end, they didn't get over the top. And now we're watching the Jets, and it's like you've assembled pretty magnificent top-end talent, especially at forward. And you've locked them in, which is great. But you cannot figure out how to fill the slots around them. And the goaltenders, you know, if you can't figure this out, you're screwed. You know, I think Arby was saying... Yeah, the Jets are going to put four or five goals in a lot of nights, but if they give up six or seven, what are you going to do?
Well, you need to, and I've been a big Hellebuck defender. What you need to improve more so are special teams. Special teams would have been more of an advantage last year than goals against or save percentage would have been. And you're not doing that if you're playing the same stupid systems and you're taking the same stupid penalties.
Absolutely. So it's all
and where is that? And where is it coming from? Players can help your special team. System is what make your special teams.
We've got tons of Ask the Superfans, shockingly.
All right.
Posted like half an hour ago and there's like 25 replies already. plus we put a post out there for people to ask us questions a couple of days ago when we were going to record and then we didn't because we break our promises. So I'm just going to go through some of these because I think it'll generate some more discussion, and I will go back to a few from October 2nd. Let's see if there is anything here. All right. So if we were putting a pool together, Paul Maurice, this is Hanger Hockey that asked, so on which game does Maurice become the losingest coach of all time? So he is eight losses away as of after this game. So I'll ask you guys, total games into the season, how long does it take him to break the record?
12.
15, maybe?
I'm going to say 14.
Let's just call it 500.
Okay. All right, so there you go. So no one giving him better than 500. You
what's
Chris.
What's your schedule?
You Chris are the biggest pom pom and giving him the most credit. Let me put in Winnipeg Jets. We have to see which game we have to circle, right?
Hashtag go Jets go with the little emoji.
Yes. Yeah.
Make sure to search. Make sure to search Jets that
New York Jets emoji. You mean?
Let's see. You asked about the schedule. So the loss to Toronto tonight. Next game is on Saturday in Calgary. Next Monday in Edmonton. Then in Vancouver next Thursday. They actually have a pretty light schedule to start the season off. Then they're back at home against Carolina, Columbus, and Minnesota. Then they're off for almost a week, and then they're in Pittsburgh and Columbus. Brian, are you going to any of those games?
No, I'm not giving the Jets my money.
Well, you'd be giving them to Pittsburgh and Columbus, but
they have revenue share.
Pittsburgh again at home, and Minnesota. That is the month of October. So there are 11 games in October. So they're probably not hitting it in October, right?
I don't know. Like, look at that schedule.
Yeah,
they could possibly go. Well, you know, what's the slam dunk? Like, what's the really probable win there? Vancouver.
maybe Minnesota. I don't know.
Oh, come on,
Carolina.
No,
that's a good team.
Yeah, Carolina's good.
Well, not every
Carolina,
team.
Carolina's what Jets fans think the Jets are.
You know what? I'm gonna circle two games on my calendar where I really, actually three, where I hope it happens. November 10th against the Vegas Golden Knights.
In Phoenix.
Or the 11th or the 14th during the home and home with the Coyotes.
Yes. Perfect.
Hey, and one of those nights is their next coach's they're honoring their new head coach that night, Dale Hawerchuk.
Dale Hawerchuk, who coached.
Maybe they'll just keep him there.
Oh God. Well, there you go. So all right, next question. Let's see here. No, we don't have to ask that. Super Jets fan again on October 2nd asked, how many times did Tanev mow Maurice's lawn this summer or walk the dog? More like fuck the dog.
Good question.
All right. Let's move up here. Okay. I think, we're on to today's question. So, Reese Smilski. Is it okay that I stopped watching after the second goal? Well, a minute later, you could have caught the third goal, but yes. As I did, I was watching the game till near the end of the first period. Then I had to do my radio show. So I go up and I start the show and I'm like, oh, Jets are down 2-0. I turn it on and it's like, oh, so I've been watching for one more minute.
It's okay. You can fan whichever way you want to fan. Just
Also, Reese asks, does Chevy's stomping out mean anything for Pomo's quest for 8 more? I'm assuming he means 8 more losses.
That should be an all-time GIF, man. That was awesome.
I want that on a t-shirt somehow.
That is so great, man.
I can't wait till we're in the future and we can have GIFs on t-shirts.
Yes.
Nick Batan's Army at Daniel Winnipeg 55. According to Twitter, Tanev was great. Is this true? Is he on a different Twitter than me?
Like Chris Tanev? Has he played yet?
The commentator said tonight he could pass for his brother. And I was like, no, he cannot. I wish he could.
He can't pass like his brother, that's for sure.
Winnipeg franchises and the shitty brother, hey?
Yeah. Hanger Hockey again asks, what are your thoughts on Nick Petan looking disappointed earlier today? What can you say? Like, this guy wants out. Sorry, is that free Nick Petan? Yeah.
Hashtag free Nick Petan.
This guy has to want out, right? He's like, get me the fuck out of this.
If he hasn't requested a trade yet, he should, like, right now.
I mean, what's even worse for the guy is, A, he's not playing, but B, look at the guys who he could be playing with.
You know, I was going to say this earlier, and I've said it before, and I honestly, then this is a true thing. We've all played sports. We've all played, and we've been the best player on the team, or we've been the worst player on the team.
I haven't been either. Well, I've been the second one. Okay, I've been the second one, yeah.
Right. We know that the good players know when there's shitty players on the team. And absolutely. I can't believe somebody that's a student of the game like Mark Scheifele is happy walking into that dressing room when a guy his age, his style, I mean, you know, play style, is sitting in the press box, and some of the useless crap that coach is pulling out, that has to have a negative effect in that dressing room, doesn't it? It has to.
The part I'm curious about is, what has Nick Petan done to prove to everybody that he's a defensive liability? Because isn't that the only reason you're not playing him, is because everybody, I think, would agree he clearly has more offensive upside than a guy like Tanev, right? So the reason that you would have to sit him is because you're so concerned about his defense compared to a guy like Tanev that you can't possibly play him. What has he shown that's that bad?
It's because he's small.
Lack of height. Yeah.
Yes, small equals bad at defense.
Lack of height.
Tanev is tiny, and he's terrible at defense too, and doesn't provide the offense. It just doesn't
He's not as short.
It doesn't make any sense. There's no...
What makes sense about what the fuck the Jets are doing right now?
Anybody could roll out that top six. Anybody, yeah. any peewee coach can roll that out. What you're doing in the bottom six... You could be the second best team in that conference if Adam Lowry plays on the fourth line. We're beating a dead horse. It doesn't make any sense.
When
they're winning, let Lowry play more. When they're losing, let Petan and Dano and Connor play and try and catch up and score goals. It's so simple.
For that to happen, that would mean that somehow Paul Maurice would morph into a somewhat competent coach.
Reese Smilski again asks, who should be first to the plank? Wait till I'm done the list before answering. There are four options. Pomo, Huddy, Flaherty, all of the above.
Is
this even a... Yeah. Eight more losses at Riker Balzer asks, what type of celebration will we hold for Maurice when he breaks the losingest coach of all-time record? Do you think the team will present him with a bag of golf clubs at center ice in a ceremony?
That lady from The Biggest Loser will come on.
They need to hang his glasses up in the rafters.
Katie Hamilton at Mint Vervain asks, can we give them back to Atlanta? Atlanta, they just opened a new stadium for the Falcons like this year, and it's a magnificent building, and I was watching the game this weekend and it was half full.
Oh, Atlanta sports fans are the worst.
Like, they deserve zero sports. I'm sorry.
None. There should be nothing there.
Yeah,
they could sell out that arena with domination. Go ahead, Brian.
The only American here, we don't want them back. they can stay.
Winston Bellbottom at W Bellbottom, this game was great for your brand. Yeah, we said that. Yeah. Yes. Like, honestly, you know, what's our listenership going to be if this stuff happens? I guess that's a silver lining, right, guys? At Steven Drenner asks, why can't we have nice things?
We're in Winnipeg. This is Winnipeg.
Look at who the coach is. Just,
I mean, you know,
you know what? It's so cliche, right? No, that's what I hate about this Maurice thing. Is it's so cliche for the fans to say it's the coach?
It's the laziest excuse,
right?
But it's true in this case.
I mean, it was so obvious and painfully obvious when it was Noel. It was like so obvious how terrible of a coach he was. I was pretty excited when they hired him. I immediately said, though, he's the stopgap.
Yep.
Right. He's the guy you hire to coach for 2 years while you're quote unquote drafting and developing to get to the point where you're ready to compete. Then you need an A-plus guy.
Yeah.
Not like when they said that at that fan forum, that this is the guy to take us there. What proof is there in 20 years of coaching?
He did make it to the conference finals.
Peter Laviolette took his team to a cup win.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's according to reality, not to some people on Twitter.
Why? Peter Laviolette won them the cup, and then a couple years later, Maurice came in mid-season and motivated that same team to make it to the conference final. That's Paul Maurice's most successful year as a coach.
All right, at Jet Stroll.
None of what you said is true.
Also, a Nick Batanthan at Jet Strolling. Surprisingly, not a tweet about him leaving Twitter. Just kidding, buddy. Hashtag ask the superfans, do I hate this team? He also asks, know anyone selling tickets for the next home game behind the home bench?
Yeah, I think Jet Strolling and I are trying to get on StubHub. So we'll just say that's to be continued.
Will you be wearing costumes?
No, there'll be no costumes.
That's the best place for costumes. Cat face guy.
You guys have like a nice bromance going too. I'm wondering, you know, will you be on Kiss Cam together?
Yes,
that's half of the plan. Half Good. Of the plan.
That I'll get a T-shirt of that.
Yes, we'll make that happen.
He also asks, know anyone? Oh, he already. Sorry, if you're Patan, how are you feeling right now? He also asks, have we ever won on national TV?
Yeah, we won on national TV.
I think Patan is probably feeling the way some of us are, where you're so mad, right? But yet some of you is just kind of like, hate to say I told you so. Yeah. Right? Like, isn't that how we all feel?
Yeah.
Like, super pissed that this is happening, super pissed they got their asses kicked, but like, yeah. We knew this was going to happen. Sad. Shouldn't want to feel like that.
Pick Natan at Sir Sexy Rexy asks, tell me everything is going to be okay with the Jets. No, really? Lie to my fucking face. so negative.
Be all right.
No.
It'll be all right. We will rise together.
I'm not going to lie to you.
All right. So that's the end of all the questions so far. But is it really going to be this bad?
It can't be this bad, period.
Maybe. No, it's game one. It's game one. I'll tell you this. If we ice two fourth lines for the whole year, yeah, it's going to be this bad. Absolutely. If Steve Mason is going to play goalie like he did today, then it's going to be this bad.
I don't think that this team gets their asses kicked. You know, more games than not. It wouldn't shock me. I mean, they got a few days before they play Calgary. You know, things turn around in the NHL. I'm not saying that this team, they're still a playoff team or anything like that, but I'm
how can you not be prepared for game one at home against the Leafs? How can you not be prepared for that?
You just,
again, you don't want to jump off of a cliff after the first game again, but to hit the point again, except if this game looks exactly like 82 others last year and with the same players. That's the other thing we got to keep in mind too. Yeah. It's all the same people. There's nothing's changed. They're 5.5 months older and six pounds of muscle more.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Two big contracts on the back end too, like goalie and defenseman that were two problems that were supposed to have been solved, right?
And again, but as we've talked about tonight and other times, all they did was replace Stu with Stulikov, which are marginally better, and you've put in Mason, who is only as good as Hellebuck, and we've talked about should just hopefully make the difference for how crappy Hutchinson and Pavlik were last year. If that happens, then okay. But
and then, you know, we have to be realistic. We have the almost losing his coach in NHL history, losing to probably the best coach of the last 20 years, to be honest.
And what I said earlier, how come the best coach, current coach in the NHL had 3 scoring lines on the ice? And look, they scored 7 goals and only gave up 2.
Absolutely. The goal in hockey is to score more goals than the opposition.
What? Hockey. No, it's to have heart and grit.
Oh, and hits and win face. What was the face-off percentage
face-off
tonight?
Oh, the Leafs.
What was the face-off percentage tonight?
The Leafs were 56%. including one faceoff that Scheifele lost that led right to that second goal.
And Lowry lost two on the at the first drop of the puck after on the power play. He took the faceoff instead of Scheifele. He lost twice on two of the power plays.
Well, I know we're not big on faceoff percentage. I don't think as being a major stat, but I'll give you some individual numbers. Brian Little, 53.
The Jets were winning the faceoff percentage when they were losing 4-0.
Yes. Brian Little, 53%. Mark Scheifele, 52%. Patrick Laine, I think, took two faceoffs. He's 50%. Andrew Kopp, 14%. Adam Lowry, 33%.
That's awesome.
You're specialists.
Awesome.
Adam Lowry, 8 minutes of 8 minutes of power play time. He also had the most shorthanded time on the ice, and he took a bunch of faceoffs, and everything was bad. He did get four shots on goal, though. Also led the team in hits. So, you know, the real important stuff, right?
That's why he's the face. He's the future. Teams guru.
We've spent a whole time venting, but I want to vent about a new buzzword that I keep hearing is noticeable. I'm really tired of hearing that he's been noticeable tonight. He's been noticeable. Every player that's noticeable is noticeable for really bad shit, like hits and taking penalty. Like, enough with that. Just because the guy's noticeable doesn't mean he's doing anything productive. Connor McDavid breaking down the middle of the ice and having a breakaway, that's noticeable. Not some guy with a hit. It's very frustrating, a new buzzword that I hear everywhere.
Leaving his position to make the hit.
You know who was also noticeable before? It was James Wright. James Wright was very noticeable before, too.
Right.
His game, you know what, for noticeability is very similar to Brandon Tanev. James Wright and Brandon Tanev are...
Let's skate really fast and notice me skating fast, yeah. And then just like fire the puck off the glass and miss the net.
Absolutely. I lose possession right away.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we cry ourselves to sleep?
I love hockey.
I love Mike Babcock.
Oh. I will take a moment now that we're finally together to celebrate my 0.2 point victory over Roddy in the Fantasy Football League this past weekend.
Was it 0.2 or 0.1? Was it 0.2 or 0.1?
It was pretty damn close. It was unbelievable.
The problem is when I went to bed, I thought I squeaked it out because I was up by 2 points. And then there was a score correction overnight. And
oh, yeah.
It was magnificent.
I was up by 20 points going in. To Monday night.
Hey, I just got to say, on the fantasy football, I won my week because of that Kansas City touchdown at the end. I won by 1 point in my game, and I had Kansas City defense on my team, so I wouldn't have won had it that not happened. So
that would drive people crazy too.
Oh yeah,
imagine people with a pro line that needed that tie too.
Yeah, it took the over and the point spread.
That is crazy.
Magnificent. Yeah. Magnificent. That, by the way, puts me at, I think I'm 3-1. So, you know, just pat myself on the back.
Fixed.
This is the best time for sports right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This month right here is like the best time ever for sports.
Baseball that you actually give a shit about, and football is in full swing, and hockey started October. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't sit all summer like a doofus going, is it October yet? But I do like October.
October's pretty fucking awesome. Though.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just for NHL hockey, though, but for all of sports.
It's just a shame that the Jets didn't realize it was October yet.
You know what? They're going to get this win back in late March or April, so don't you worry.
Yes, of course they will.
It's coming. So... You know, calm down.
Hey, maybe Paul Maurice is just even Steven. All even out at the end. 500, baby.
Yeah.
Even Steven.
By the way, yes, I beat you by 0.1 points.
That's crazy. That's 1 yard.
Yeah.
That's 1 yard. 1 fucking yard.
Always 1 yard ahead of you. Also always nice for you, Roddy, when you put up the third highest overall score of the week and take the loss, because that's how fantasy football works.
Every time.
Every time. All right, boys. Well, we'll wrap this one up on, you know, a very positive show as always. And we will see about recording in the next little while. I'm out of town quite a bit over the next couple of weeks because I'm going on vacation. But I'll be back in Toronto for a few days next week, so we'll try to get a show out then. Maybe after the Edmonton game, we'll see. And then you know, probably another week, and then we'll be off to the races for the season, and hopefully the team will turn things around, and we will be right there with them. Right, guys?
Super fans every week, guys. Super fans every week.
So until next time, again, I am your super positive best pal. My name is Alan. At Slip with Five Eyes or Slipe.
It's Poppy, Roddy Bats, Big Poppy Peg City. Big day for our brand today. Big day.
I'm at Brian from AIH, and I'd like to thank friend of the show, Yuri Hoodler.
And I am Nick Patan's fourth best fan, C-Mac Live.
8 losses to go, everybody. Let's count it down, and we will see you all probably in a week.